Hey, Los Angeles. Are you looking for unique 4th of July plans for you and your friends or family? LA's greatest rivalry returns to Rose Bowl Stadium for a July 4th edition of the El Tráfico soccer matchup as the LA Galaxy return to their original home to defend their turf against LAFC. Last year, a record crowd of over 82,000 fans were on hand to witness the Galaxy victory. That's July 4th at Rose Bowl Stadium. Guaranteed fireworks both on and off the field and a celebration for all of LA. LA Galaxy versus LAFC, the Rose Bowl edition. Tickets at lagalaxy.com/tickets.
Welcome back to Now. No opportunity wasted. I'm your host, Angelica Ross. And don't get it twisted, honey. This is not just a podcast. This is a movement focused on helping us all make the most out of life's opportunities and challenges right now. And so much has happened in just the past few days since we launched this podcast on Monday that we decided to go ahead and just drop part two of my conversation with Don Richard this week. This would also give me a chance to go ahead and speak up on a few things that also happened just in the past 24 hours alone. But before we get started, today is Thursday, February 8th, and I want to read another quote from Buddhism, Day by Day, Wisdom for Modern Life. Jose Toda often compared death to sleep. When we have been awake for a long time, we tire and go to sleep. And when we wake up after a sound sleep, our vitality is restored. After we have been alive for a long time, we grow weary and die. And then we set out on a new life with a fresh spirit. Death is a period of recharging for our next existence. And I'm really grateful for those words. They're so very timely as I was flipping through that, because I just found out some extremely sad news. We lost another one of our sisters, and so many of us are grieving the loss of Cecilia Gentile. And those of you who are fans of Pose might have known her by another name, Miss Orlando, who pumped candy with that bad silicone. But to many of us, she is one of the fiercest warriors for social justice that we have ever seen. Cecilia gave her life to liberation, especially to decriminalizing sex work for trans people, who society seems hell-bent on making sure we can't even function in society. Utah just banned trans people from using public bathrooms. There are still bills trying to prevent us from accessing healthcare, whether you're a minor or an adult. So many facets of our society are saying the quiet part out loud and saying, "We wish you didn't exist." We experience so much structural and physical violence that it is a wonder and a revolution that we even dare to have the courage to fight for our right to exist. I have always been of the mindset that all you have to do is stand. We aren't all built for the fight, but we can all find a way to be present. You know, standing, sometimes saying that can be ableist. So what I mean is to be present and be counted in this moment, to not distract ourselves, but to bear witness to what the hell is going on. Our friends are dying. Cecilia, you will be so missed. I remember sitting on the couch with you in between takes of filming our scenes and you telling me all the stories of all the things that you survived. Your legacy, your legend will survive. It will go on and on in our hearts. You will be missed. Mother Latravius from the Brooklyn Ghost Project, you will be missed. Sasha Fierce Washington, you will be missed. We have lost so many of our mothers, the mothers of our community. You are Black history, and we will continue to speak your name. Your sisters will never forget you. We will honor your legendary lives, and we'll continue this fight for our freedom with your names etched in our hearts. Rest in power. It has been a long, long journey, this fight for liberation, and it is so far from over. Just this past weekend, outside the Human Rights Campaign Gala held in New York City, protesters gathered on the outside, including folks like my chosen family in the movement, India Moore and Sara Ramirez, who was also a guest on this on our podcast, and I'll be sharing that conversation next week. But they gave a powerful speech outside the HRC Gala, and points were made. Point one was that HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, is one of many companies that prides themselves as the folks who are working to secure the human rights for queer and trans people. But that very community that they claim to be working for is calling their moral compass and integrity into question. Rightfully so. They are vocalizing how heartbreaking it is to find out that an organization that you think is in existence to fight for human rights is partially funded by a weapons manufacturer that is sending those weapons to Israel for the purpose of committing a genocide against the Palestinians. Sara emphatically spoke, asking, "Why is human rights even in your name, if you have ties to a company invested in ethnic cleansing?" The entire speech struck a chord with me, especially when Sara said, basically, you either have a commitment to human rights without exception, which includes Palestinians, or those words, human rights, in your company name are just empty words. Touche, Sara, touche. I also saw video of someone on the inside of the gala who also stood up and protested and spoke up. And there were people in the room booing and telling them to shut up. And all I could do was think of the black and white video of Sylvia Rivera telling the gays to quiet down as she's trying to be heard through a crowd of gays who only want to focus on the party. I thought about Marsha P. Johnson, whose name is invoked so many times. But rarely do those same people who are invoking their names, rarely are they standing in solidarity with sex workers and those who are trying to survive on the margins of our community. I was so embarrassed again, because again, before, back in 2000, and I think it was 16, I was at the White House, and when President Obama spoke and Genesec Gutierrez interrupted him, calling for him to stop deporting folks out of the country, and the folks in the room were booing her, I couldn't tell what was happening at the time because I couldn't hear from the position I was in. I was in the room meeting President Obama and then Vice President Biden at the time, being able to take my picture and, you know, talk and what have you right before those remarks. So when I got into the room, I was in a position where I couldn't hear what was being said. But those who could hear were booing. And here we are again, learning nothing. Still haven't learned how to stand in solidarity with those who truly know how to speak truth to power. Some of y'all are just playing activists on TV and for a check. Speak up. It ain't just about pretty gowns, awards, and galas. This is about our liberation, and not just liberation for some of us, but for all of us. Either you are about that life or you are not. Now, last thing before we dive back into part two of my conversation with Don Richard, I just wanted to tap for a second on the fact that lightning struck twice over at Club Shay Shay. Cat Williams' fraternal twin, Monique, came through and shook that damn table again. And boy, did she speak up and name names. Now, of course, a lot of us aren't new to the drama that involves Monique, Lee Daniels, Oprah, and Tyler Perry. But baby, sister came to the table and I think really sealed the deal for me and a lot of people who are going to end up watching this. I'm going to talk about this more in another episode because in true Shay Shay fashion, the guests interviewed themselves for about 3 hours. So I didn't have the time to get fully into the episode before taping this. But the cliff notes that I caught so far, baby, Miss Monique allegedly has Tyler Perry on tape admitting that he started a rumor about her that was untrue that cost her jobs, basically cost her her career. She also brought up Miss Oprah Winfrey and woof, all I can say, honey, right now, because I haven't fully processed it all, is that Monique is the definition of standing on business. And I stand with Monique. I also stand with Jay-Z, who called out the Grammys this past weekend on their BS. And I know some people, mostly white people, felt like he was out of line. I personally thought Beyonce should have just stopped attending the Grammys altogether years ago, because I got tired of seeing her sit in front row while they play in her face when it came to the Album of the Year award. I think as a whole, black people, we are just done pretending that things aren't what they are, what we see. We don't need anyone else to affirm our collective experience but us. And I must say, I'm really loving this new era of people starting to speak up, because silence is a source of power for the oppressor. What does Zora Neale Hurston say? If you're silent about your pain, they'll kill you and say you enjoyed it. So let's continue speaking up. Now, let's get back to basking in the light of Dawn Richard.
One thing I will say that labels don't do is they don't sit their artists down and say, now that you have this platform, here are some nonprofits you could look into to support. They don't educate you on, they don't care. I wish someone would have did that, because I originally wanted to work with people who did natural disasters and provide shelter, because I didn't have that. But then the Hip Hop Caucus came along and they were looking for an artist relations director. And I was in a point in my career where I could give back. I had finally made money enough to where I was like, now I don't want it to be about me anymore. How do I make change? And they were on the ground to the day of Katrina. They were one of the first organizations to actually do something while they were there. Reverend Year was from Lake Charles.
Wow.
So he was on the ground trying to figure out. They did a wetlands initiative. They were trying to help us. And I was like, okay, I did the backstory on this. I'd like to work with them. So I applied. That's really crazy, right? Because I'm a musician. Why are you applying? No, because I want to genuinely do it. And what's the rules? Why can't an artist be all things? And so I went ahead and said, I'd be your artist relations director. I'm coming in from an artist angle, which I think is genius, because now I can speak to artists authentically.
Absolutely.
I don't have to sell them anything. I just want to help them with their message. I want to build a bridge that no one gave to me.
And listen, I have to be very, very thankful and grateful and just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank
you. I love you for doing it.
Thank you for building that bridge and inviting me to come perform that Grammy weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just such a, you know, for me, I told my agents and stuff like that, I speak on a lot of panels and a lot of conversations. And sometimes it's like a LGBTQ panel.
But that's not what we was talking about.
At all.
You know
at
what all? I mean?
No, but what I'm saying is that I want to be involved in more situations where we can realize that folks like me are just a part of the fabric of our communities. And with the right support and encouragement, listen, thank you, because I'm trying to tell you how like important it has been for me. I don't know how blessed I've been to be able to have this happen, but folks like you, NDRE, Kelly Rowland, you know,
another great just girl. I love
her. Brandy, like folks who who I literally grew up watching and listening to, and in different ways are encouraging and affirming me, because I have to tell you, I was so timid and scared to sing and open up my, even though I have such a strong voice, but it was because through transition, through this, through that, all the different things, I was starting to lose my voice in the music. And luckily I started to find that. I grew up in church. I grew up singing and mixing my harmonies with someone else's and like, you know, just being in that space. And I for so long felt almost like musically homeless.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In a sense where I had a song in my heart, but I just could not connect.
Well, no one was telling you that it was okay for you to, like, you couldn't find yourself.
I could not. I couldn't.
You just was like, oh, I'm an alto, I'm a tenor. This doesn't make, meanwhile, everybody you named, altos and tenors. So I.
Listen, once
I. Some of the best vocal, I mean, Brandy, my God.
Brandy is India, like my a God. Good smoky like, bourbon.
Kelly, like, sleeper cell right there. Because if you're not paying attention, you might miss it because she's fantastic.
No, fantastic. And so.
Same, alto. Same.
I've listened and I've studied you all and. I'm just so grateful to, I'm about to be 43.
Looking like you're 10.
Thank you. Thank you very
looking
much.
Looking 12.
You know,
young
thing. I think it's the, trans and black found
come
the
on.
You together.
Together mix it.
But part of me feels a sense of, sometimes, it's getting better these days. Sometimes I have these moments of, man, I wish I had known or been here sooner. Or, you know, gotten to this place sooner because what I'm enjoying now, I'm just enjoying it so
but it
much
wouldn't
in the
have
development.
Been so sweet, babe. Like it had to be like this. It had to be because you appreciate it at a level that you probably wouldn't have. I'm serious. Like, same. Like, it had to be now. Your time, it's timing. And who's to say you won't come on this bad boy differently and be even more informed and blossom earlier in your next life. Mm-hmm. But I think there's something pure about experiencing your time when it's meant for you.
Mm-hmm.
Those who don't, they miss it. They miss it. And you can tell when it doesn't have soul because they don't even know how to feel it.
You're right. Yeah.
This will,
yeah, you know, yeah. You're right. Because I'll say this, when it came to me for acting and things like that, and just in case, this is going to be coming out in January, but I'm just saying this for the cameras and everything, because just in case we still on strike and I have to cut out talking about TV. But I don't think my performance would have been what it was with Candy if I hadn't experienced
come on.
My mom not valuing me and being on the streets and having all of that so that when them tears came, baby.
It was real.
I didn't have to reach too far for them.
Come on.
I literally was sitting on top of my chest. And especially with all the things that were going on. And all I wanted to have happen is I want to continue what I want to hopefully have happen with my life. I want to continue to bridge the gap between our communities. The fact that there are so many kids. Like, that was the thing that folks missed about, like, Paris is Burning. Because, you know. Such a great documentary. Ooh. And what folks don't see, like, there was a little boy, like, on there talking, like, on the streets. Mm-hmm. The little boy's on the streets. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. There are little boys who are being either humiliated or kicked out of their homes or, you know.
Or trafficked.
And that is the thing, too, that we, again, we're not, you know. Mm. Well, I talked to this woman on the podcast. Her name is Taina Bien Anime, and she's a director of an organization that works with women who have been trafficked. And so one thing that she told me, and I'm going to take this to heart, you know, because I've always been advocating for, like, decriminalizing sex work and things like that. Because, you know, again, abolitionists, all the things. But she was like, yes, but also, like, don't push for the full decriminalization. And I was like, what do you mean?
Because there's another side.
There's still criminal activity. Children, women.
It's heavy in our industry too, babe. Is this thing on?
Ooh. See, let me tell you something. I was going to see, listen, because that's where I want
this
to go to.
Thing,
when we talk about the Me Too movement, I'm like, it ain't hit the music industry yet.
Well, we don't have a, let's talk about that for a second. And I've been talking about this for a minute. We don't have a union. Let's talk about that. So we don't even have, we couldn't have even done what was happening right. in the acting world because we don't even have anyone fighting for our health care. We don't have a union. We don't. We don't have a SAG after. We don't have that.
You know what's so wild, though?
It's crazy. It's actually not that hard. No.
To actually even start a union. I've learned about some of these all things
these in the past. All these people and our musicians
just,
we
you
have.
You put a group of, you. All you need is a certain amount of number together to start getting the discounts on the healthcare plans and the additional things.
So imagine how segregated and siloed as a community we have to be that we don't, we have, like, we got big hitters. And our musicians, and you mean to tell me none of them was sitting in a circle and was like, we got all this money. You know what? And I'm not even talking about race, right?
Across the board.
Across the board. Like Taylor and Beyonce alone, like the money they're making on their tour, that money alone could start a little cute union. Ladies, union.
But you know, I just growing up in church, we would have these church plays. Music would be sickening, you know. Mm-hmm. But the theme would always be, you know, if you went secular and if you went to the R&B mm-hmm. music or you went to Hollywood or whatever, that's what comes along with the worldly mm-hmm. world, and that's what you get. Mm-hmm. That's what you get. And so when you had your folks that were video vixens mm-hmm. who dare to talk about like trying to be treated fairly in that space.
Shame on them. Shame. Those Jezebels.
Listen, no support.
No.
And I think right now, finally, it's because of patriarchy and its claim to women's bodies that we haven't gotten to the place of consent around. I should be able to walk around downtown, titties out.
I mean, I do it anyway.
I can't wait for the day.
Oh, I don't even care. Tell me, baby. I'm going out, titties out.
That's like, thank you, Janelle Monae.
Yes, girl. We love what a great pair of titties.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Janelle.
I want to take a picture of her titties and take it to the doctor.
Like, thank you, Janelle, like, for your goodness. And a face to match.
And a face to match.
You doll face, pretty titty, beautiful person. Yeah. My God, she's great.
We love you, girl. Okay, so as we wrap up this conversation, because I could literally talk to you all day. This is like girlfriend talk. Yeah. The name of the podcast is No Opportunity Wasted. It's all about making the most out of life's opportunities and life's challenges and showing up. Mm-hmm. What helps you to show up? What helps you? What helps you show up for your opportunities? Because, you know, again, people be like, oh, you're lucky. Oh, you got that thing. You got that booking. You did this. You did that. Oh, you're lucky. Oh, that's great. But it's like, it ain't so lucky if the thing come up and you not ready. Mm. You don't know how to respond. Mm. You don't know how to show up on time or for any, with the right energy. Mm. What helps you show up to each and every opportunity as yourself?
It's a good question. I think for me, all I have is my word and myself. Like, all I have is this. And I don't look at myself like it's not the vessel, right? It's the spirit. Like you say, like all I have to represent myself is my light. It is so important to me to walk up in a space and not only have my light be at its best, but to transcend such an aura and such a presence that it also connects with someone else's life, no matter how dim it may be. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you ask me what makes me show up for moments like this, for every dimness or darkness that ever happens, for some reason, if you show up authentically with your light, you are bound to find someone else with light. Mm-hmm. And that experience is so remarkable. It's worth showing up consistently because you never know when that connection happens and that is transcendent for your soul. I don't.
Do you have a spiritual practice?
How yeah. So I grew up Catholic, which is funny, right? My parents, Roman Catholic, I till this day ask them, like, who brought that to you? I just,
where did that come from?
That's New Orleans. That's a big thing, right? And then as I got older, I learned to love the parables of the Bible and respect the concepts of it. But I am a spiritual person. I practice yoga. I've read Buddhism. I've read Taoism, Hinduism. And what I've learned is that for me, they all are the same in the sense that there is one being, one thing, one, whether it's yourself, the universe, Buddha. Treat others as you would treat yourself. This, the self-love as well as the love of others is such a powerful thing for me. So I am spiritual. I take the practice in respect of all religions, and I practice things that feel good to me, whether it be yoga, whether it be baptism, my brother's non-denominational. I believe in God. I believe in the universe, and I believe that there is this entity, this thing that is bigger than all of us, and she is beautiful. Mm-hmm. She is mighty. She is all things. Mm-hmm. I make her to be a she, but she can be any, it could be they. But what I do know is something's pulling this light. Something's pulling this light. That's what I practice. I pray every day, but my prayer looks different every day, whether it be, like I said, a kundalini, a breathing exercise, whether it's an actual prayer on my knees, whether I lay prostrate. The ask is always the same. But I do always believe, I believe I'm going somewhere after this. I believe in reincarnation. I do believe in that. And so for me, when I show up, I want to be my best spiritual self. Mm-hmm. I want to come into a space as light lit as possible. And what I found in this industry is the more light you have, the more uncomfortable it makes the dark. I was able to see a lot of people's true forms, and it saved me. So what makes me want to show up in the now?
Let me stop for a second, because the place to slip up is when you are the type of person who has this light, and it makes people with darkness or whatever uncomfortable. It's a moment where something can happen where not only is it making them uncomfortable, but in that moment. You, if you're not careful,
they'll take your light.
You'll let that they're uncomfortable with this make you uncomfortable, because all of a sudden you're feeling like, wait, why is this energy not gelling? Should I not be this way? Am I supposed to? Am I doing too much? Mm-mm. Is this whatever?
The devil is alive, babe.
To hold on to that light in the midst of darkness.
No, to be able to see people's true form is beautiful, because it shows you, okay, my light will be sucked there. My light will be drained there. Let me be careful. And here's the thing. In some instances, you can't leave that situation. So you have to be in that, sometimes even get drained, and then go back to your space and restore. So what, when you ask me what is the, keeps me in the now to show up each time, I rather come consistently lit each time with the hope to connect with another lit being than come not at all and not experience what that will be when it does connect. Because I know the other side. Mm-hmm. To come dull, mm-hmm. to come not prepared, mm-hmm. you miss it. That's what I was saying. Like, you had to know it now. If it would have came early, your soul probably wouldn't have even realized how blessed this moment, how incredible this moment. You would have felt it a little bit, but not like you feel it at this age,
such a deep
at
gratitude.
This moment.
Yeah.
Your time, your light needed to be polished to get to this space to receive it. I believe the same here. If I continue to show up as my authentic light, when my time comes to meet the right people, it is unbelievably beautiful. And I want to make sure that when that moment, I'm there, baby, and present.
Yeah.
So I can feel it and acknowledge it and know it. Because if you're not prepared, you might miss your blessing. You might miss your friend. You might miss your circle. You might miss your transition.
And that's, so first of all, I'm getting teary-eyed.
It's
listen
the truth.
To what you're saying. Yes.
It's the truth.
And thank you, first of all, so much. What Dawn is saying here, too, is not just about being lit. And being able to show up to that music opportunity or that job or whatever. It's actually being lit for life.
Yeah, show up in your life. Show up for your soul. I treat my art, the person I love, my dog, they all get the same thing. Mm. And it's that's a practice. Mm-hmm. Just like your Buddhism is a practice.
Yes.
I have to practice to get up daily and polish light because we're surrounded by darkness. And there's nothing wrong with having the juxtaposition.
We need
light and dark. We need that. But it is understanding the power of your light. Because you can get lost in that juxtaposition and believe, oh, I need to have. There is nothing wrong with showing up consistently lit, polished in your journey. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. You can have off days. You can be dimmer, right? But then that becomes the practice of how do I then get myself back to one? That's a daily.
Daily practice. She don't even know how much she's right now being like an advocate for Buddhism. But the thing
I just read it. I read it, and
Buddhism
then I practice.
Is common sense too. A lot of it is very much common sense.
Some Hinduism is as well.
But when you say polish, we talk all the time about because we chant to this scroll and we see it as a mirror, and basically us chanting is polishing that mirror day and night so that we can see ourselves and our life circumstances clearly. Mm-hmm. That is, and it's the same thing when you're saying, like, talking about polishing your light. Some people don't even know, and like, really fully, truly know the light they have.
Right. And that's because they're not practicing.
And someone's always trying to dim their light, maybe, too.
But that's okay. That's going to happen. But the practice is going, and that's when I do wish and hope that people have something of substance to go to, whether it be spiritual, crystal, whatever it may be for you. That's how you polish it. Right, is that you have, it's self-work. Mm-hmm. It's self-work. It's hard.
It's hard.
But just
work,
like you get up and go do your, wouldn't it make, keep your car clean? Mm-hmm. Just how you get up and
but
get.
But I believe this
that's the same thing.
Is the reward. It's hard work. When I say this is the reward, I also mean this.
Come on
is
now.
The reward. And what I mean by that is, what it ain't, it's not really that much of like a rocket science thing. It's literally is that practice mm-hmm. over years.
Man.
And then you come into the space where more and more and more you become more of yourself. You know how to be more of yourself. You know how to actually use your light. Thank you so much for using your light and showing your light and sharing your light with me. I do not take that for granted at all. I value that so much. And I will continue to hold on to the, sort of that energy. Anytime I need to sort of call on, and I constantly like look to you for strength, for artistry. Sometimes I listen to your music and there's like a worship element to
there's
it.
There's
like,
definitely that.
I can feel that. So yeah. Just thank you for what you're putting down because I've been picking it up.
Thank you for you. You speak on light. I'm only gravitating to what you're giving me. I'm serious. I think you are a special person. And I am looking forward to watching your journey because your journey is inspiring. And that is a part of my self-polish. You, I repeat that for you. You are a part of our self-polish.
Yeah.
Your story is polishing us, right? And receive it because it's a beautiful thing to be. It's a lot of pressure sometimes. But just know that you are not in vain. What your work is not in vain. You are polishing. It's not just your own self-work. You are actually lighting others in the process. And that's all you could ever be put on this earth to do is lift. Mm-hmm. Lift each other. You're lifting us. So thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll talk. Y'all, Dawn Rashard.
We went ocean.
Yes. We'll be right back. Listen, make sure if you want to just continue the spiritual experience, listen, go listen to Pigments.
Oh, yeah.
Like, top to bottom, it is a beautiful spiritual experience, but so is, what is it, New Breed?
New Breed is a more of a New Orleans experience. Second Line is an electronic if you want to dance. And Pigments is a soundscape. You can choose your desire.
I love, what has it been, seven now? Seven albums yourself?
Yeah, seven. Still going. I got another, Spencer and I, we did you think Pigments is...
Oof.
We've been playing. I think it's the most honest I've ever written.
Recently, are you going back on tour?
I'm going to London. Pitchfork Festival asked me to do something in London. And Spencer and I are doing the London Music Jazz Festival. So we're going to do an orchestra.
Because I think I missed the last time that
a special thing to see, he and I. We have some of the most incredible musicians that come with us. And when I tell you, we bring Pigments to life in a way that is, I really enjoy it. Pigments is something special to me.
When I seen that video, I see just seen a video of you singing the
Yeah, I had this like Lena Horne. Oh. I paid homage to Lena Horne and I had this headdress. Oh man, I felt like I was, I don't know, Glinda from like, yeah I just, it was just, I don't know. Pigments is different.
Do you feel, okay, and then I'm gonna let you go. We leaving. But like, when I see you on stage.
That's home.
Where do you, like, because I know, one thing I know and I appreciate, like, being on stage is with the lighting and everything, kind of you're able, the rest of the world's able to disappear a little bit. But I definitely see that, I see with you, it's not just a, you're not only, I feel you're both connected with the space and people, you're connected to people.
I
want to
see
them. But it feels like you're also connected this way.
It's praise and worship for me. I'm very, believe it or not, super shy, super introverted. I don't come off that way. I'm awkward with people. I will do my best and I play a really good game when I'm around people. But technically, the person that I am most connected to is the like that's who I am when I'm on stage. That is the most freeing. When I leave stage, I'm like, what do I do with my hands? It's kind of like, I don't know what to do then after that. But on stage, I feel the most honest with people. And that's where I converse. That is my conversation with people. That is my conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I feel truly happy because I get to do what I feel I was meant to do. Not just in the studio, but to be free to let it go. And
I'm just so grateful that you found that, because I can't tell you enough just how much I feel like we're losing great art because folks can't figure out how to.
What am I being, again, polished?
But also just think about, it's being sold to you that this is the way you got to go. And if you don't got this, you don't go this way, you're not going to make it. If you don't do this kind of pop, if you don't do it this way. So folks like you that say,
I'm good on that. But I even feel like the people that's there, that's all purposeful too and intentional. That they're planting those people there to make sure you understand that if they want to tell people not to polish themselves. The sell is anyone can do this. Anyone can, that's what, because for them, you are product. They want you to be, the more unpolished your light is, the easier you are to manipulate. You are, the darker you are, the more unsure you are, the easier you're able to be manipulated, the better you are. They don't want someone who is polished in their light. They can't convince that person.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, someone that is still trying to figure out their light is so impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
They're keeping them purposely unpolished because that is the sell, so that they can funnel that. That is why we have so many artists who are at the pinnacle of their careers and don't even know how to have media training, or don't know artist development, or losing their voices on because they don't know how to use the tool. It's not a negative thing. It's a truth. They're just going on tour, but they don't even know how to use their diaphragms. They don't know that when they leave stage and they've done 17 shows, you don't speak. Brandy would used to say she can't talk. Like, once she get off stage, baby, Whitney Houston used to, you would see him with scarves over there. There's a discipline.
I didn't know how serious it was until I did Broadway.
It's a discipline.
At 8 shows a week and what have you. And it was just like, it's been almost, like when I did Pride this recently, it was hell for me actually, because I was booked to perform live, but also hosting hours on TV talking.
It's discipline.
It was so hard.
Yes. You have to know that's discipline at a level. That's polish.
Yeah.
You're polishing because you're choosing. That's a choice to choose self over everyone else. That's a very difficult thing to do, right? You want your fans, you want to do all those things, but the truth is you have to choose yourself so that you can show up correctly. That is a practice that is then bleeds to who you are. That's a constant thing. It's not just, that's what I was talking about. And they've been really good at teaching and facilitating these artists who are great, but they don't know how to polish. So they just out there living their best lives, but they're also then getting caught up because they get there and then lose millions, or they get there and their team around them is horrible, or they get there and they're not really fully aware of what it means to be in these spaces, or they get there and they're depressed. They're at the pinnacle of their careers and they hate their lives.
Yeah, they're not really truly.
Well, their spirits are not fed.
They're not. Yeah, they're not prepared for that.
They're not prepared for that, and so they're in massive houses, depressed. It's truth.
Well, listen, I 10 times over, I'm just really grateful because I think you and folks like you, and I know myself too, I own it. But when we do show up with our light in the way, we do help light the way for others to see that they don't have to go these boxed pathways or, you know, these predetermined things that says this plus this equals that. But like, you can be sort of the captain of your own ship. You can, you know, control your own career. You inspire me. You will continue to inspire me. Whatever I can do to continually like be there and support and do all the things. I cannot wait until, that might be the thing. I was like, because I wanted, we had already finished doing our one project when we were doing the King Esther for New Orleans, and you hit me up about that. But like, you've done some acting, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was in this crazy movie with Jean-Claude Lemaire, but it's called Kinky, but it was like hilarious. But stop.
Yes.
But I did some stuff with Insecure too with Issa Rae.
That's
but,
right. That's yeah. right. Yes, yeah. I've never seen you on Insecure.
Now that's fun. Yeah. But I haven't even tapped in. I do want to cross over. I think I've always wanted to.
I can see that.
But I didn't again have anyone cultivating, helping me facilitate it. So now I'm at a place where I can do it myself. And so, yeah, I do. But I also want to be purposeful and intentional where I want to go with it. But
absolutely.
Yeah, from animation to dealing in independent film culture, because I grew up loving film in a way that most people wouldn't even know. It's a side hustle. Like, I know film quite well. So.
I can see that for you, but we're artists. Yeah. When you're artists, stop trying to put us in a box.
No, you won't. You can't.
You can't put us in a box. Some of us are multi-hyphenate.
Yeah.
And we just do a bunch of things. And it's okay if you only do one.
Yeah.
Like, be good at that. Just be good. Especially when you're dedicating yourself to the things. But when you're an artist, sometimes it's just you don't even know until you switch the medium. The media or whatever. You go to Photoshop. You go to this. You go to that. But, like, you can create a piece of art. So just go out there. Create. Don't let nobody tell you what you can and
what
you cannot
do. They don't know what they're doing, baby.
They go that New Orleans accent.
They don't know what they're doing.
Thank you for joining me in the now. Thank you for what you're doing for the now. And I can't wait to see what you do in the future.
I love you.
Yes. We'll be right back, y'all.
Thank you all so much for tuning into Now. No opportunity wasted. We are just getting started with these conversations. Thank you so much to Dawn Richard for sharing your light with us, your wisdom, for reminding us to polish our light and to carry that light with us. And before we go, I just want to drop another seed of Buddhism. With our Nichiren Buddhist practice, we focus on becoming happy. We believe that every person, regardless of identity, background, ability, lack thereof, whatever, that you can become happy. And we believe that based off of the concept of what it means to have absolute happiness. Absolute versus relative happiness. Relative happiness is based on the weather being nice, my girlfriend or my boyfriend making me happy, my job not being annoying. That's based off of circumstances. But those who are truly happy have a very deep happiness that is unshakable and unmoved. That even in the midst of suffering, one can still crack a smile, even if it's just in their eyes, to be the light in a very dark situation. We are in the midst of such chaos. Joy and happiness is not only a revolution, it is our birthright. I believe that joy can be something that we all can evoke and experience right now. No opportunity wasted. See you next week. I'm not afraid to Have an opportunity or a challenge? Need some guidance or advice? Well, tune in to Now, No Opportunity Wasted with Angelica Ross.